Blog Talk Radio.
Heavy metal definitely rules. Ozzy, Priest, Scorpions, American Hi-Fi, Dokken, it all rules.
Dynasty League podcast with me,
hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I am your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League and the host of this podcast, Rick Goreski. Off to a slightly rocky start. I had some technical difficulties getting lined up here, but we're all good now. I know I'm going to be joined by at least one guest tonight, possibly two. So why don't we go ahead and turn me into we. Let's bring in my co-host for today's show. First up, my guest, wait a second, this just in. Clicking the button here. Here we go. This guy, he's so over that he dressed up as himself for Halloween. Please welcome the owner of the Stone Form Pallies, Mr. Steve Wellman.
Thank you.
We are supposed to have Tom Buckles joining us tonight. T-Buck, not sure where he is yet. He did have a family commitment, had to pick up his daughter. That's right, ladies, he's off the market. Have a moment of silence for mourning. At some point he might jump in with us, Steve, but for now, why don't we jump into the show, because I am taking the show. We are here to talk about today, we're here to talk about round four of the now completed 2016 Mad Dog Dynasty League rookie draft, and we're going to talk about all the picks that we like, the picks we didn't like. We're going to do each other's hair, talk about the players and how they fit into each team's roster, winners, losers, general feelings about round four. Before we do that, though, I wanted to revisit something from yesterday's show. I had mentioned a specific strategy that I had heard that influenced my picks this year, and I failed to credit the actual show. I was talking about how, I had this past offseason heard a strategy in dynasty leagues where for rookie drafts, especially if it's a PPR league, you know, take good solid wide receivers early if you have the opportunity. And then when you get down around the third round, you know, gather as many picks as you can and take a bunch of running backs and treat them like lottery tickets. And I did that, but I didn't tell everybody that the show I was referring to is called Under the Helmet. Chad Parsons is the guy who runs the site. I stumbled onto Chad and his show while reading articles on footballguys.com, and Chad is a contributor at footballguys.com. Chad owns his own site called UTH, or Under the Helmet, and led by Chad Parsons, they have a free podcast, and if you belong to their web subscription, they do have additional podcasts for subscribers. So a lot of good information. Chad has two co-hosts, including Katie Flower and Tim Torch. I have no idea if those sound like stage names. But they have their own website, www.uthdynasty.com. Focuses completely on dynasty football. And I thought about it. I'm telling people about this strategy, and I didn't credit who actually the strategy came from, so I had to say that on today's show. Plenty other sites that are out there. I'd like to do a show on it in the near future. I've been exploring a lot this off season, and I'm trying Dynasty League football this year. I chagrined as I found out that they're Bear fans. So I immediately thought that's, you know, $25-$30 down the drain. But seriously, it's a good site. I've read some of their free content in the past, and this year I'm giving that a whirl. The Fantasy Footballers are another show that's incredibly entertaining. A trio of guys that, you know, man, the time just flies by when they're on the radio and or the podcast. And, of course, as I've said many times before, Football Guys is top of the mountain for me. I love the way they provide information from multiple sources. It helps cut down, in my opinion, on potential bias in the reporting, and it gives you multiple perspectives, many times from different parts of the country. So, Steve, would you like to tell everybody a little bit about some of the sites that you like to patron and potentially use for our Mad Dog Dynasty League and the rookie drafts?
Sure. I also use Football Guys, and I've dabbled in the other two that you talked about. The other two that I really use, especially before the rookie draft, I like Walter Football. That's a really good site. Gives really good in-depth information on each rookie going in, what their pluses, what their minuses are, how they're going to do. And actually, just from a purely information standpoint, RotoWire does a pretty good job. They'll give you the depth chart. They'll even give you their combine and their workout statistics, you know, their times in the verticals and their bench presses and all that kind of stuff, and do small write-ups. So that's a pretty good site, too.
There are so many great sites that are out there. I just keep trying to find more and more. I don't know about you, but it's exploding. This year specifically, I've never seen so many sites, so many podcasts that are out there, so many people. And, again, it's cool. You see them, you know, Chris Harris. Harris Football is another one that comes to mind. I mean, I found a new show called Something the Stream. I don't even remember the whole gist of it. But I do remember that we were supposed to have another guest on today's show. And at this time, I would like to introduce to you, he is a man who needs no introduction yet demands one anyway. Seriously, he's really big on protocol. I have to introduce him or he won't do the show. So here we go. The owner of the Malicious Minds, Tommy, Mr. Tom Buckles.
What up, sucker?
So we were talking about fantasy football sites that we like to patron while we were waiting for you. You want to throw anything out there? Steve pretty much laid it all out there.
I can't really divulge that information due to the fact that it may incriminate me and cause you guys to start actually beating me.
Wow, how bad is it?
And I just wanted to add, though, the league first started in 2011, the only real site that I really went to and used on a regular basis was Fantasy Sharks. I mean, it was a good site, plus it also tied into the specific site that we use to host our football. And, yeah, since 2011, it's just crazy how many other sites have popped up.
My original one was Draft Sharks.
Fantasy Sharks, right?
No, mine was Draft Sharks. It's still out there.
Oh, Draft Sharks.
Go ahead, Tom. What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I used to jump on Draft Sharks, Fantasy Huddle. I don't know, there's quite a few ones out there, but it's like how the internet is and YouTube and everything else. Once something starts getting big and everybody has the availability to start getting their word or their piece of their mind out there, it's just an automatic instant. Sooner or later, you know, they're just going to blow up. So, like I said, it's just as the internet grew, so did the, you know, people coming out of the woodwork. So every other Monday, you know, armchair quarterback kind of guys coming up with their own personal, you know, information on certain guys. But there are, you know, our guys that we listen to, you know, from the beginning on when there were just books, you know, and computers were just, you know, starting out.
Yeah, I don't have the name of it with me, but there was one book that turned me heavily into fantasy football and also the structure of leagues and how they can be set up.
Fantasy Football Digest, something like that. In fact, I'm going down into my basement right now to go grab my copy.
Yeah, it was a little book. Yeah, it was like
paperback. It's like a Nancy. It was a Nancy Drew book, nice and thick like that, you know.
Pretty much stalked the guy. He said he wasn't going to write it anymore, and I wrote him. I found him up in some cabin somewhere. But tell me if you get a hold of that, Tom. In the meantime, I'm going to dig in. There's a lot of great information out there and a lot right here, too. So what do you say we start round four before we blow the whole show on fantasy football websites? The distribution
of offense
and defense. Go ahead.
Yeah. His name was Korch, Joseph Korch.
Joseph Korch.
And he used to write a thing called the Fantasy Football Guide.
That's it.
The one I'm actually looking at has Terrell Davis on the front from 1999.
Well, we'll forget
that. Followed by the 2000, which was then Danny Sheridan's. And then, yeah, Danny Sheridan then took it over. And then the following year
I stopped with
Carpentier's. Yeah, Korch was about it. And
Sheridan.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
It was good stuff, and back then, that's all you had back then. You know, you didn't have all the stuff that they have today.
We had our weekly our once seasonal magazines, and, you know, like I said, there was only a handful of sites available back in the day.
Magazines were huge. Fantasy Index is a magazine I get every year. Fantasy Index, it's actually sitting right next to me here. It's in its envelope as I keep it in its envelope every year. Fantasy Football Index is celebrating its 30th year. 30 years of publications.
Yeah, I remember you used to bring in ones that were like 10 to 12 years old to King for a Day drafts in the morning and putting them out there. Like,
you said that was your
Michael
strategy, didn't you?
Year. Yeah, I thought people would come by and be like, oh, let me check out your book. Let me see what you got going on there. Like, sure, here you go. What the hell is Warren Moon doing available? I'm like, dude, isn't he awesome?
Well, let's jump into round four before we run out of time,
yeah.
Man. The distribution between offense and defense was evenly split. It was nearly an even split in round four, with six players selected on offense and a half dozen on defense. I'll let that sink in. One quarterback, four running back, one tight end, one place kicker. So if you combine the place kicker, no, what the hell? That's not right. It's six players on offense, one place kicker, and five players on defense. One quarterback, four running back, one tight end, one place kicker, one defensive lineman, three linebackers, and one defensive back. And hopefully I didn't screw any of that up as we start to read through this. I don't think I did. Out of the dozen trades or so that were made during the draft, four involved fourth-round picks, including two picks, 4-10 and 4-4, I think, that moved twice. Tried like hell to get into this round myself, but was unsuccessful. I'll go ahead and read the players, and then we can circle back and review them. The first pick was defensive back Jalen Ramsey. Jacksonville went to Ipswich United. Second pick was tight end Austin Hooper of the Atlanta Falcons, going to Klingons around Uranus. Third pick was linebacker Joshua Perry, San Diego, to Transpap Sixer. I think that was one of Tron's first picks because they just kept trading down. Much like I was doing, I'm going to click on their names so I can verify that. Yeah, that was Josh Perry was their first pick, followed by linebacker Nick Vigil of Cincinnati. That was their second pick and from Cincinnati. Fifth pick in the fourth round was defensive lineman Sheldon Rankins of New Orleans, went to Show Me Your TDs. The sixth pick was running back Jordan Howard of Chicago, going to Klingons around Uranus. Kling had traded to get some extra fourth-round picks. Linebacker Blake Martinez of the Green Bay Packers went to Urine Trouble with the seventh pick in the fourth round. The eighth pick was quarterback Paxton Lynch, Denver, going to Dream Team. Ninth pick, running back Wendell Smallwood, Philadelphia, to Malicious Minds. The tenth pick, running back DeAndre Washington of Oakland, went to Ipswich United. That's the pick I was trying like hell to get. And the 11th pick, Paul Perkins, running back New York Giants, went to Downhill from Here. the last pick in the fourth round. Place kicker, Roberto Aguayo, Tampa Bay, went to Trans Pabst Sixer. So, guys, those are the picks, starting off with Jalen Ramsey, the top defensive back in the draft to Ipswich, first overall. Cornerbacks never excite me. In very few times do you find cornerbacks like a Charles Woodson or a Tillman in his prime that put up a lot of stats. What do you guys think of Ramsey, first overall to Ipswich? I was surprised by the pick.
I guess we're starting with Tom going first tonight.
No, let's
Tom's
go
going
Tom
first tonight.
Yeah, I'll go first tonight. I'm intrigued by the pick I'm intrigued with the pick of Jalen Ramsey, just for the fact that he has the capability of sliding into that safety possible hybrid position eventually, and I think that's what Andy was going for, because I do believe he knows that the corners are kind of, you know, iffy guys here there, but I think this guy has a possibility of sliding back eventually when either Gibson or, say, Cyprian starts getting long in the tooth.
Long in the tooth, Steve. Over to you.
Well, yeah, I kind of the same sentiment, and I just wanted to add that I saw this is a pretty decent move. There was a kid that I picked last year from Dallas, Byron Jones, who was also listed as a cornerback but immediately made the switch to safety. And I think that could be Ramsey's line of succession very shortly. He has all the physical tools to be able to play that position. And Jacksonville has some pretty decent corners as it is. And with him and Cyprian back there, that could be a pretty formidable safety crew.
I think turnovers will decide if he becomes a playmaking defensive back. Then I think it'll turn into a pick that Ipswich will be very happy with. If not, I think he's going to be hard-pressed to get his money's worth out of that particular pick. Speaking of
The other thing The other thing I'd like to add about that is the money and the players that Jacksonville did bring in, especially in that front seven area, I think that's going to force the ability for the secondary to be able to make the plays. So that's where you could see Ramsey actually, you know, exploiting that cornerback position, you know.
Andy,
yeah, I mean,
I had invited to come onto the show. I was just saying that I invited Andy to come on to talk about the pick, but he is an early to bed kind of guy, so I don't think he's going to be joining us tonight. Go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say, part of also those guys that Jacksonville picked up was Tayshawn Gibson. So I don't think Ramsey's going to be able to make the move to safety quite as quick as Jones, but I can see 3 or 4 years down the road him making it into that spot. So it's an interesting stash pick, I guess, for now, but it could work.
Well, guys, let's move on to the next pick, which was second overall. Tight end Austin Hooper of Atlanta going to Klingons around Uranus. I thought it was a great pick for Kling. It was good for him to trade and get some extra picks in this round because he didn't have many, if any, rookies on his team coming into this draft. He had traded out last year, I believe. And he had Antonio Gates as, if I'm not mistaken, his other tight end. So gets an injection of youth, gets a player that should get playing time and become the guy down in Atlanta. What do you guys think of Austin Hooper?
I actually liked Hooper. It was a guy I myself looked at as a possible successor or a future tight end on my own squad. But I thought he went in the right about area where I figured he'd go, and I thought it was a nice pickup. And they need a tight end there. Levine Taiolo is about all they have down there. So maybe they can start that two tight end set down there, maybe, and since they're losing Roddy White.
It just seems to me. I don't think it's a bad pick. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can really have a bad pick in the fourth round because you're really just looking at guys who have potential. The only thing that you have to look for is situation. And Atlanta just, for some reason, hasn't been able to get the tight end to be part of their game since Gonzalez left. So it's a good risk, but, I mean, they got Jacob Tommy down there and Toliolo. So, you know, those guys haven't been able to make any real fantasy impact. So I don't know if in the near future that's going to happen for Hooper, but he's definitely worth the pick, especially in the fourth round.
I, like I said, really like the pick to Klingons and like the fact that he picked up an extra pick in the fourth round that we'll talk about in just a little bit. Third and fourth picks in the fourth round belong to Transpap Sixer. They had done a masterful job of trading down and increasing draft position and picks for next year. They, in my own words, they had spent a lot of picks on offense in the past, and I wondered at the top of the draft if they had kept their pick, if they were contemplating going defense. We got the answer that they did go defense late as they took two linebackers back-to-back, Joshua Perry of San Diego and Nick Vigil of Cincinnati. Perry is the guy that I read was a little bit higher touted and a guy who Manti Te'o, if people don't know, his contract is up after this year. It's possible he could move on and Perry could move into the lineup. What was the guy last year, Tom, real good linebacker Denzel. That was picked up? You got
Denzel,
him?
Denzel Perryman.
Yeah, Perryman. So Perryman and Perry could make up a nice combination, nice young linebackers in San Diego, like the pick a lot. And Nick Vigil.
Yeah, they did get a Jeremiah Tatu guy, too, who's another outside rushing defensive linebacker end. So those three guys could make a nice future trio for that linebacking core, you know, and then if you throw Bosa back in there, then you got four, you know, your four guys for your 3-4 already lined up.
Well, and Nick Vigil, although there, you could see a blueprint where he could, you could see a roadmap where he could become a starting linebacker for Cincinnati in the near future. I'm a little bit personal biased with the Cincinnati linebacker situation. I've been bit by it myself over the past years, and I'm almost too with this particular head coach and system that they have in place. You know, I'm going to have to see a linebacker other than perfect, you know, star in that defense before I spend a pick on a young guy there again. But I'm not ripping the pick. I'm just saying I have my own personal bias in downgrading that situation. I had heard that Nick Vigil was a great prospect, even similar in some ways to Luke Kuechly. So, Tom, what did you think of the two picks, Perry and Vigil?
To be honest, I wasn't high on either of them. But, again, here, it being your first couple picks of the draft since you wheeled and dealed. I mean, they're looking at, you know, stash guys that, you know, down the road could be, you know, possible prominent role players for their squads. So I think their offense is decent, and I think that's the area that they need to improve to, you know, be competitive in the league. So once their defense catches up to where their offense is, I think they'll be good to go.
Steve?
Are they wasted picks? No. Are they the two picks that I would have taken at linebacker at that spot? No. So, again, it just comes down to an owner's personal preference and maybe a little intuition. Yeah, I think both of those guys have a tough road to get in to see any playing time. So they weren't really on my radar at all.
Oh, see, I really liked Perry. I guess I'll talk him up a little harder. I think it's going to take him a year to get in there, but I can clearly see them. San Diego can't be that impressed with Manti Te'o, especially with the injury history. And I could see him in a year getting into that lineup and doing a really good job picking up some snaps. So
But what happens when Bosa goes to outside linebacker? How does that shake things up?
Well, I'm looking at him as an inside guy, so I don't think it affects him at all. If anything, it opens things up, takes pressure off of him in front because they have to account for him.
Yeah, I think, like I was saying before, I think it's you would have Bosa slide back to one outside end. That Attachu guy would be, Jeremiah Attachu would be the other outside rushing end, and then you'd have Perry and Perriman in the middle.
And,
well,
and I guess
I don't
I'm
think
a hypocrite.
Attachu beats out, I don't think Attachu beats out Ingram, though. So that's my worry is that they maybe move Jeremiah to the inside if Manti goes, just from a pure experience standpoint, veteran standpoint. So, you know, you don't know. And really, when you're picking guys at this late in the fourth round, it's really all a roll of dice anyways, right?
But I think they did a good job to go at defense. I think that was something that their team needed, and the strength of the draft was starting to shift at this point.
I'm just not sold that those are the two best. You know, you had the kid down in Indianapolis. I think he's got a quicker, more direct road to playing time.
Morrison?
Morrison.
Morrison.
Then you also hear things about, you know, Kentrell Brothers and Scooby Wright. Although, again, Scooby's a Brown, so that hurts the butt. But, you know, I guess Josh Perry isn't a terrible pick, but I think I would have taken Morrison instead of Vigil. That's just me, though.
Well, the next pick, the fifth overall pick in the fourth round, was defensive lineman Sheldon Rankins of New Orleans to Show Me Your TDs. And hopefully Scott will still be my friend after I say that. I thought this was one of the worst picks in the draft, a defensive tackle. I don't – maybe Scott knows something that I don't, and maybe I'm just clueless on this pick. But like I normally have a bias against cornerbacks, I also have a bias against defensive tackles unless they're Larry Donald or something, or Aaron Donald. I just – don't see a lot coming out of the defensive tackle position, and this was a lot of good players were still there. So what do you guys think of this pick, Sheldon Rankins?
Yeah, another pick I wasn't excited about it as well. Again, I'm along the lines as you, shy away from defensive linemen unless they're a beast, you know. I know it's a rookie draft, but as far as defensive linemen go, like I said, unless it's a beast guy, I'm not going to pick up one of them. I'm going to wait. I can pick up one of them guys throughout the season for 50 cents at a pop at any given time and drop them as fast as I got them. So unless this guy has got something that we don't know about or seen or heard of yet, which I haven't heard or seen yet, I would have waited and just use that pick on something else. I mean, defensive tackles are, you know, a dime a dozen.
He's got five defensive linemen, defensive tackles on his team. Show me your TDs.
Exactly.
He has no defensive ends.
That's a high price. Yeah, it's
five
the high price
tackle.
Guys are going to be your end. You don't
he
want,
likes the
I
big
mean,
ones. All I can see is that.
Well, he
doesn't
have the luxury of coming in a 4-3 defense, so it's not a complete waste. You know, he could be another Quan Short or Geno Atkins who can actually play it. You know, I'm kind of on board with the defensive tackle, but if there's any saving grace, if they're part of a 4-3, that gives them a little added extra chance to do well. But again, it's another case where there's at least two other linemen out there that you think would be taken instead of that, and I don't think he picked the best player at that position.
He likes the big boys. I just see that scene from A Golden Child with Eddie Murphy when he picks up the magazine from the guy, chunky asses. So Sixth pick overall in the fourth round, running back Jordan Howard of Chicago went to Klingons around Uranus. I thought it was one of the best picks of the round. Couldn't believe that Howard lasted that long, even though I had my own reservations about whether or not he'll be a three-down back. Hey, fourth round, if you can get a guy that might become the starting running back this year, get goal line carries on an offense with John Fox is running, I think that's a great pick, and it's a pick that helps Gar's team. What do you guys think?
Like you just said, John Fox being the coach, he's had committees, basically. Wherever he's gone, he's always gone by a committee running back situation. So what has he got? He's got Langford and, what, Kadeem Carey? No, I see Kadeem Carey as, like, that third-down type of running back. Langford showed signs last year, but I see this guy getting that goal line carries and first, second down kind of guy. He can already do the block blitz pickup, so you don't have to worry about that there. The only thing hindering him is, you know, coming out of the backfield. I don't see him seeing, you know, anything over 12 possible shot that passes his way. So that's going to hurt him there. So
the only
thing
I worry about, John Fox doesn't like to play rookies. That's the only concern I had. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, actually, I was just going to mention that I don't think Howard's going to be that impactful this year, but it's going to be a year which Langford's going to have to prove his worth, and if he doesn't do that, then Howard Johnson or Jordan Howard has a very good chance of getting in there. And it's a good pick for where it is. Again, probably not the best opportunity. You got Perkins in New York, who has nobody in front of him, really. DeAndre Washington in Oakland, who, when we get to him, I'll point out an interesting fact. But can you blame him for taking him? No. If he likes him, yay. I just didn't know that Gar was a closet Bears fan. I'll have to razz him for that.
Well, the seventh pick, we got about 12 minutes left, so let's keep it going. Linebacker Blake Martinez, Green Bay Packers, went seventh overall to Urine Trouble. Good pick for Urine Trouble. Not a very sexy pick, in my opinion. Just a solid guy who is going to have an opportunity to play. What do you guys think of Blake Martinez?
Yep, situational guy. Long haul, I probably would have preferred to have the other Packer guy they took, Fackerel. So Martinez is, like you said, the sexy pick. He's going to get sub-package time this year. So I don't know. I wasn't in love with the pick, but, again, stockpiled talent. Hopefully, an injury or something comes and the guy gets thrust into the action earlier.
If slow and steady wins the race, this guy's taking you in trouble to the Super Bowl. What do you got, Steve?
Well, that's just it. He doesn't really have a whole lot to get to see playing time. I mean, we noticed last year how they had to take our Pro Bowl outside linebacker, make him inside linebacker. So if he can be one of those quote-unquote high motor guys, maybe he can be successful. So, you know, again, this late in the draft, it's not a terrible pick. But, again, Antonio Morrison is still sitting out there at this time. I don't understand these other picks.
I think that Martinez is kind of A.J. Hawk-light. I've heard the guy's very intelligent. I think he'll work out just fine. I just don't know that he's going to be a star linebacker. He'll fill in on bye weeks and injuries, is my opinion. Hey, maybe we'll be wrong. Eighth pick overall in the fourth round, quarterback Paxton Lynch of Denver, the Denver Broncos, goes to Dream Team. I thought it was a great pick for Dream Team. You have Paxton Lynch, who was lauded by the pundits, the draft experts, as potentially the guy that they liked best out of all the quarterbacks, even though they felt the other guys should be drafted before Paxton Lynch, that he needed some work. But they loved what he brought to the table, and the Broncos did too, trading up to get him. He could end up starting some games this year. Just a good pick, I thought. What do you guys think of Paxton Lynch?
I believe he's a decent quarterback. Not a hell of a whole heck of a lot of brightness in the brain area. So I think that might hinder his growth. I think he's going to be a two-year guy on the bench, maybe even a third year, to before he actually gets out there. I think he's going to need some teaching, kind of like how the Packers have Brett Hundley right now. I believe, you know, some years under the belt, he'll fix his flaws. So the more time this guy gets learning a system with a coach and a team, I think it'll better him. But who knows what's going to be left around him as far as wideouts. Sanders will only be, you know, 2 years more in the league, and Demaryius Thomas will be up there in age. So they're going to have to improve that offense then.
Well, the fact that the fans and media keep talking about Trevor Siemian should tell you that Paxton Lynch is not ready right now. Steve, what do you think of Paxton Lynch?
Well, it just came down the wire today that they're actually looking for him to take the reins this year yet. So, yeah, it's a good pick. There's no harm in taking a shot at him. I don't think it's a wasted pick. And if you're looking to put a quarterback on your bench and let him sit there for a while and see how it develops, I think Lynch is perfect for that.
Well, let's move to the ninth pick overall. Running back Wendell Smallwood, Philadelphia, went to our own Malicious Minds, who is part of our show today. Tom, how about telling us about Smallwood and why you decided to go small?
Yeah, I actually went Wood, not Small. But anyway, the reason why I picked him is I looked at the situation and where he was going to. I felt that his style of running and the offense that they're running in Philadelphia, let alone with an aging Sproles in front of him and an injury-prone Ryan Matthews, if he could get his pass blocking up to par, he'd be the guy that has an opportunity to get in there quicker than, you know, say a few other guys that were drafted already in the league.
He's definitely going to have an opportunity to get on the field at some point. Ryan Matthews has trouble staying healthy. Sproles is aging. It's a good situation, and he's got some talent that I think fits the offense that Doug Peterson wants to run. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I mean, when you get that far down, any one of the three running backs. Well, I mean, again, not the guy I would have taken, but...
Well, you heard it. Steve hates the pick. You heard it, everybody.
I hate it.
That's it, Steve. Everything I said earlier
it's not,
on.
It's not the guy I would
have
taken.
There you have it.
But it's certainly in the ballpark.
Well, I think Steve, you know what it is, Tom, is Steve wants to talk about DeAndre Washington, who was the next pick, 10th overall, going to Ipswich United. Steve, tell us that line you wanted to use on DeAndre Washington, who many people think might get an opportunity to overtake Latavius Murray in Oakland this year.
Well, Latavius Murray is ranked dead last in starting running backs for yards after contact, and as a running back, that's a pretty key stat. And so I think the patience is wearing thin out in Oakland for Murray, and I think DeAndre Washington probably takes that job relatively quickly. And I think he can be very effective in doing so. He's not quite as big a back, but he's a little bit more shifty, so maybe he can avoid more contact. So I think basically Latavius Murray, his job is on the line, and I think of the fourth-round running backs, Washington has the best chance to see the field first.
I had heard a stat that Latavius Murray, for the amount of touches that he got last year, finished as the worst productive running back ever with that many touches.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't look that bad, but you know, there was lots of room for improvement, and that's why people, you know, DeAndre Washington has become the darling of some people. What do you think, Tom?
Hello?
Yeah, what do you think, buddy? DeAndre Washington.
I don't know, maybe I missed. Maybe I went small, and I should have laid the wood on Washington.
There you have it, people. Tom regrets his pick.
Not really. Not really.
He gets one pick in the next 3 years, and he's already second-guessing himself.
We got about 4.5 minutes left, so I'm pushing us a little bit, guys. The next pick, 11th overall, was Paul Perkins. By the way, I was trying hard to move up to that 10th overall pick, of which I would have taken the kicker from Tampa Bay, but I was unsuccessful. Paul Perkins was the 11th overall pick in the fourth round, going to downhill from here. Excellent pick for downhill. He needs the young offensive talent on his roster, the influx of young offensive flex guys that he could potentially start. Perkins, you know, even though the coaches are talking about Andre Williams, you know, showing some positive things this year, I don't think it matters. I think he might not even make the team. You've got Shane Vereen and Rashad Jennings in front of him. It won't be long before Perkins is going to have an opportunity to take that job. What do you think? Tom, you want to start?
Out of the guys left after Washington went, good pick. As another guy who has not really much proven solid guys up in front of him, so a lot of injury issue guys in front. So I think he's got a shot to get there some playing time for sure this year. So it's a solid pick for a position we needed too.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, he was my number two after Washington. Again, the only thing, he's kind of a compact back, but he's got good size and decent speed. So, and again, a laundry list of guys in front of him that have proven to be nothing special. So at least he'll get his chances this year. Whether he'll cash in on it, I don't know. You know, everybody thought that Orleans Darkwa was going to be the guy, and he just didn't. He kind of fell on his face. So time will tell.
The last pick of the fourth round went to Transpap Sixer, perhaps the most unlikely draft pick ever, even though situation-wise you could see it coming. Place kicker Roberto Aquayo of Tampa Bay goes to Tron. I had read a stat that he didn't miss a kick in his last, I don't know, I think he didn't miss a kick under 40 in his collegiate career and was perfect for, going off the top of my head, perfect for the last 2 years. Excellent pick. Going to be a starter for these guys on a young offense that's budding with a young quarterback. Good pick for Tron. What do you guys think?
They didn't have any other kicker on their team, so much of an idea of what we figured was coming. So we just didn't know if it was going to be that round pick for them or early sometime in the fifth round. But decent pick. Hopefully it pans out. Who knows?
Steve, what do you think of the pick?
Yeah, I like the pick. Didn't Tron trade away a kicker?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, to some fool. And,
well, guys, minute.
Oh yeah,
I was going to say, a minute
pick.
And a half left here. Let's go to our favorite questions at the end. Favorite players from round four, guys 3 to 5 years from now, people are going to wish they had on their team. I say Roberto Aquayo is going to be one of those guys. What about you, Tom?
Unfortunately, it'll probably be Mr. Washington.
All righty. Steve?
Yeah, I like Washington immediately, and I like Paxton Lynch's long-term.
Least favorite guys, that's for me, Sheldon Rankins.
Sheldon Rankins.
Rank a rank.
All right.
And maybe Blake Martinez at first.
So who won the fourth round? I thought Gar's team did a great job picking up two very, very good players that should play on their team, Austin Hooper and Jordan Howard. Tom?
I would say actually Tron did pretty decent. I'm going to go with actually Ipswich on this one.
All right. Steve, 10, 15 seconds. What do you say?
Yep, I'm going to go with Ipswich. He's got a starting running back, and if Ramsey can make that transition, he could be a stud for a long, long time.
Well, guys, that's going to do it for our round four recap show. Stay tuned for our round five recap show this part 3 of 3 series that's going to go 5 episodes. Until then, thank you very much to Steve Wellman and Tom Buckles for carrying the show once again. It's been another episode of
thank
the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Take care, guys.
Thanks.